Right, it's time to start talking fantasy leagues. I know this. Look, there's people out there who, for whom this is about as important as it gets on an annual basis in terms of their commitment to footy. I'm participating in an NFL fantasy league, and the banter that goes on between those of us in this league is ridiculous. You'd reckon that men of the age group that we, and the demographic that we occupy, would know better, but we do not, and we lose our minds to this sort of stuff. I've never quite found that sort of passion for AFL fantasy league footy at this stage. I don't know whether it's quite my go just yet, but I know plenty who absolutely swear by it, and will be already poring over numbers, particularly once lists were finalised, waiting for something like the prospectus to find its way to them, and trying to come up with the team that can take them to the promised land. Adam Warney-Child is part of the traders on afl.com.au, fantasy expert with the group. And Warney's been good enough to join us. With this being a focus as leagues, I think most leagues around about the place start opening up early next week. Hello, Warney. How are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day, Andy. Yeah, I guess everything's all going to kick off next week, so we're getting very, very excited about it. And for some coaches, I think we've been going probably since the grand final siren blew at the end of the game.
So how excited do you get when, or how pivotal a moment is it when AFL lists get finalised? Once, you know, all the drafts are done, all the delistings are done, all the players have been added to list via whatever kind of mechanism you can, and there's potentially still another couple of players here and there up to that sort of later deadline now who can be added to list. So there's still potentially some room to move. But how big a moment for fantasy league players is that?
Yeah, I think it's a big thing where we can see when players get their positions allocated by champion data. That's probably the big thing for us. We can sort of get a bit of an idea of which players we might think are going to be the top for their position. And then when the prices get revealed, I guess we've been going for about a month and only got a couple of teams left to go on afl.com.au with the prices for this year. And you look at those and you try to find those little diamonds in the rough, the guys that you think might do a bit better this year than what they did last year. And they're the ones that sort of set up your season, whether that's playing the salary cap draft game, a salary cap game with the prices, or if you're playing draft, which is, I think, the format that most coaches are really enjoying at the moment. It's sort of building every single year and trying to find those guys, you know, those little breakout players that can get you those league wins.
So 1-300-736-736, if you want to put to Warney any of the players that you're thinking about. There's this real fear, Warney, that when conversations like this take place in the public domain and you put out there on afl.com.au in your formats, whether it be there or podcasts, whatever it is, that you're going to give away a little smoky that somebody doesn't want anyone to know about. It's insane, absolutely insane how precious people get about hanging on to a player's name that they just do not want anybody else to know about.
It's pretty amazing, but I guess in this day and age with so much media, I guess, you're always clicking onto websites, you're finding news everywhere. We're listening to SEN every day to find even just those training updates, and you hear about something that might be, this guy might get an extra 2% midfield time, so that's going to be a bump in his average for the next year and those sorts of things. We're hang on every little bit of that. So I don't think there's too many secrets these days, and it's almost a good thing because there's a lot of players that can end up being relevant, especially if you are playing the draft leagues, and you might be able to find that guy that might have just been a fringe player last year and he's found his spot into the side, and especially the first year players, like a lot can burst onto the scene. I know, Andy, you'd be all over Walsh next year because he's going to be locked into the Carlton 22, and I think that we're all pretty excited about what he might be able to produce because his numbers as a junior were fantastic.
So 1-300-736-736. We'll get to some calls in a moment. Just from a philosophy perspective, based on your observations of what wins leagues, what wins matchups, is it the performance of your big money guns that are going to get you over the line at the end of the year, or is it the mid to bottom tier players that you just have to stock your list up because of, you know, salary cap realities? Is it the performance of those guys that get you over the line at the end of the year?
Well, it is, but it's all about what they do at the start of the year. So you pick these guys that are nice and cheap and that are destined to go up in value, and we'll see that with a lot of players that are the first-year players, ones right down the bottom of the line, but also those guys that might be a bit cheaper for another reason. So Dan Hannabury is a guy that I think he's around about $400,000, which is a long way from his best. He averaged about 110 for a couple of years up at the Swans, and now he had about 60, just under 60 last year, in his last year at the Swans. But hopefully with his body right, He's going to be a great guy, and he might be in your side right at the end of the year, but the money he'll make over those first few weeks by hopefully being out on the park and getting those scores like he used to about 3 or 4 years ago, he will be a great player for that. So it's not about essentially those guys that will be there all year. It's those guys that can make the money that can allow you to get to those guys that have been there. So we can't just start the year with Brody Grundy and Max Gawn as our two rucks. I'm a big believer of having Grundy there as my number one ruck, but Max Gawn, there's a few question marks about whether Braden Pruce plays with him and what that might mean to his scoring, but maybe find a mid-price ruckman to go next to Brody Grundy and he'll go up a little bit in value, and then you might be able to find out whether it is Max Gawn that you go to as your upgrade when you've made a little bit of coin from some of these other cash cows.
So, Warnie, explain, for those of us who aren't au fait with the way that works in, you know, draft in fantasy leagues around AFL footy, explain how that works. You get you're drafting a player, you know, at a cheap rate. He flies early. How does that advantage you, you know, as you kind of develop and alter your list over the course of the season?
Yeah, so in AFL Fantasy Classic, we get two trades every week. And so what we do with those is essentially try to have the players that at the bottom end of your team that are going up in value. So you want them, A, to be playing to start with, but B, also to offer a nice cheap price to be able to get that. So let's say we start with Sam Long.
Yep.
He's priced at $270,000 and he has an average of, let's say, 70 points for the first 6 or 7 rounds, and then he might have made $150,000. So I could go and cash him out and trade him down to another cheaper player and use that money in between.
Okay.
So the money that I've made from him, and I'll put that on top of, let's say, Dan Hannabury, who might have gone up $150,000, and I could have turned him then into like a premium midfielder. I could go and grab an Adam Treloar, for example, for that, because I didn't start with him. And so that's the sort of way to play it. It's a little bit of a stock market life. You've got your shares there in this player, and they'll go and make their coin, and you sell them at their high point, hopefully, and get in another one that's going to rise and use that capital, I suppose, and go and put that on top of someone else that may have maxed out in price or done their job as what you had them in the side for. And then hopefully by the end of the season, especially finals in fantasy, that you've got a 22 full of guns.
Perfect. I love it. Buy low, sell high. Hey, Scotty's in Geelong and wants to ask you about a player. If there's any players that you want to ask Warnie about on your way through as you're starting to think about building your teams for your respective leagues around the place, feel free to get on the line, 1-300-736-736. Scott's in Geelong. Good afternoon to you, mate.
How are you, guys?
Good, thank you.
Not often you take a cash cow 1 year and back it up and take him as a premium the year after, but I've got no doubt Geelong are going to change the way they play, and Dangerfield and Ablett and Selwood are going to have less midfield time. For Tim Kelly to be a multi-position player, he is an absolute lock to take as a forward. I'll take him before I take Dangerfield.
What do you think about that, Warnie?
Big call, because I'm pretty bullish on Dangerfield this year, because I think that he probably has a bit more midfield time than what he did last year, in the sense that I think Gary Ablett might spend a bit more time forward and have brought in Luke Dalhouse. So that's where I'm sitting. But Tim Kelly is a gun. He ended up, the way he finished the year, averaged about 100. So he's priced a bit cheaper than that. I think just under 90 points per game he's priced at. So the money, he will make some cash, and he will be in the mix with one of those top fours. I'm not sure if I'd be putting him out on the line and saying that he'll be better than Dangerfield, but I can see that he'll be amongst that top group of players.
It's those double position players, those DPPs, I think that you call them in your vernacular. Are they the ones that you want to find? Is it obvious that they're the ones that you want to find, particularly the ones that are going to play mid-forward? Are they the real gems?
Yeah, especially for scoring. Like most of the guys that have dual position, such as a Dangerfield, who is mid forward, we're pretty lucky to have him as that this year, is that they'll be the top scorers for the line. And they're also got flexibility. If you do have a dual position player that's say in your midfield and you need to switch around for the week, they can go and fill a role in another spot. So that's the thing. But I guess as forwards, those players that have got midfield status next to them, they're usually the better fantasy player. So when you're looking at a guy like, you know, Buddy Franklin, fantastic player, he's straightforward, and you can see that a Dangerfield probably scores a little bit more than him because of the role that he plays, and maybe a bit more consistent as well.
Stick to your guns, Scotty. If you like Tim Kelly, just stick to your guns, despite what Adam Warnie Child might be saying to you. Hey, off the SMS machine, a question for you. With Mitchell gone, who do you think will be the ultimate pig that goes to the trough every week? I don't necessarily enjoy the characterisation of the player that we're talking about or the type that we're looking for. But if it's not him, and you know he was almost bankable. He was almost at a lock, wasn't he? The last couple of years. Is there someone who people can be that confident about in 2019? Do you think?
Well, I think Brody Grundy in the ruck, we actually call him because Andy, the big thing about being called a pig, it's a big positive term. Players embrace it and love it. And if you're referred to as a pig by the fantasy community, you know that you are on the wicket. James Swan actually was the original fantasy pig, and I think he probably almost has a tattoo of himself of being a fantasy pig. But I think this year it is Brody Grundy for me because he's a machine and really might be, as a ruck, could be, you know, 10 plus points, even 20 points better than the next best ruckman, the way he plays the game. But, at the moment, it's a very sad time. It's still pretty raw with Tom Mitchell, and knowing all the content that we've actually written, might have to rewrite again about Tom Mitchell being the best fantasy player in the comp after last week. There's some raw scars here at the moment as well.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, mate, we're going to have to wrap it up. I wouldn't mind, I don't know whether we're going to be stealing AFL.com's Thunder and the Traders Podcast Thunder, but I reckon as people start to build their teams, particularly on a thing like the prospectus and all those other pieces of data come out from Champion Data Revealed and people start to really consume it, I'd love to be able to do a bit more of this on the way through to the launch of the season proper. If you're up for it, I am, mate. We really appreciate your time today. And if people want to know more about it, head to afl.com.au, find the Traders and Warney and his mates will steer towards a team build that'll hopefully be a successful one for you. Thanks for your time this afternoon, mate.
No worries, mate. Get all that banter in because that's what it's all about, beating your mates in fantasy teams.
It's insane. It's absolute. My wife can't believe how much time I end up spending on this sort of stuff. It's a joke. Mate, have a good afternoon.
You too. See ya.
Good on you. Adam Child from afl.com.au and the Traders. This afternoon's for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it.